The awesome foursome, Sangeeta, Poonam, Uma, and I'm Meenal, are back with episode 8 of our podcast, Crash Landed on K-Dramas. A month and a half ago, we started this podcast out of a sheer love for K-Dramas and hoping to spread some joy. 7 episodes in, I went and checked our podcast stats last Friday and shared it with the girls. And I want them to share their reaction with all you listeners today.
Hooray! 1,000!
40 times!
1,000 plays of our episodes so far is great encouragement for us. You all have left voice messages. Those who know us, send us WhatsApp messages. We now have our Instagram and Twitter handles. So please continue to share your feedback with us. We love hearing from you. Uma, Poonam, do you want to share your thoughts with our listeners?
Yeah, the best thing about the fulfillment or the feeling of satisfaction that I get is when I see a lot of new people have started watching K-drama. That's the biggest thing that I feel is a big achievement rather than the stats of the number of plays and number of audiences.
True. I was going to say the same thing. For me, it's most pleasurable to hear people say that, you know what, I heard it and I liked it so much that I actually started a drama of my own. Can you tell me what else can I watch? These are like music to my ears.
Poonam, you just said music to my ears. And I think you've given away the theme of our episode today. The music of K-dramas. So I'm going to start with one song. That's from Itaewon Class. It's called Start Over. It has such an infectious energy. And if any of you listeners need your adrenaline pumping again, this is the song you should hit the play button for. Even before I checked the English translation, I thought the song is about dreaming the impossible and achieving it against all odds. And that's what Itaewon Class is all about. So I'm sure all these girls are waiting to chime in, and I'm going to take a backseat and let them speak up.
Talking about energy, I think the first song that comes to my mind when we talk about really pumping it up, Quarangs, It's Definitely You, that is one song, really crazy energy. And considering how whole setting of Quarang is, where this bunch of boys are getting trained to be the King's Guard. So this song plays so many times during the whole drama. And even the prelude that you have. So that also keeps playing once in a while. Whenever they get into this mood, suddenly they get playful and they're playing, dancing with their swords in hand. And considering Hwarang has so many singers and dancers, Mino, BTS's V, even Park Seo Joon and Park Hyung Sik, all, most of them idols turned actors or actors who can sing. So that's one amazing number, which I felt it's one of my top tracks in my playlists of K-dramas.
So Sangeeta, when we were discussing with songs to discuss on this podcast and you sent this link to me, I went and listened. If I didn't know what Hwarang is all about, I'm thinking, oh, this is such a peppy, upbeat, modern, band boy kind of number, like feet thumping. And then I go and checked out the plot of Hwarang. How beautifully have they blended modern beats to a period drama? I think that's amazing.
Yeah, that's a very interesting point you made, Meenal. Exactly. You know, Hwarang's track, whole OST is like that. I mean, technically, it's a historical drama set in the Silla period, but it is not really the music or the cast or the, in general, the whole setting. It doesn't fit into a typical period drama. So their music is also such a nice blend of both historical and modern. Actually, if you've seen the video of this song, it's so peppy, right? You see that all the boys are really wearing those typical hanboks and their Silla period costumes, and they're dancing.
And the long hair.
Exactly. It's so beautiful to watch too.
In another drama called As Faith, where Lee Min Ho is, it's a periodical drama. There, you won't believe, it's just not a peppy number. There's a rap song in that. There is an English artist along with the Korean version. He's also doing the English version of it. It's an amazing song. Lot of energy. And now it's only the K-drama songs. This is the morning energy song for me. And the number one morning song for me is Itaewon Class. Not this track that you were mentioning, Alina. There's another track called Still Fighting For It. I think the lyric starts with something like, it's the morning, something with morning it'll start. And it, as though he's fighting for it, he's not going to give up. You know, those kind of, really, you get charged up when you wake up and brush your teeth.
I think it's the kind of songs we need, given how, I keep saying, this quarantine has played out for all of us, personally, professionally, these are the kind of songs we should be listening to just energize ourselves.
When I wake up, when I want that energy, I listen to this song, okay? When I want to feel loved, when I want to go into that mushy feeling in the morning, I have another playlist for that. And the number one in that mood is While You Are Sleeping. There is a song called as It's You. It's sung by Henry. And the words are something like this, okay? Baby, I'm falling. Head over heels. You know, you can imagine the morning thoughts. Oh, wow. That's how I'd like to start my morning. Either a positive one from Ithavan class or While You Were Sleeping, a romantic. Depends how my mood is in the morning. So I have compiled a playlist like this and it exceeds over 80 songs by now.
Because she mentioned playlist, all the songs that we speak about today, we have compiled a playlist, a Spotify playlist for the listeners, and we will share it in our episode notes.
I have a playlist of K-drama songs which I actually play to sleep because there are all kinds of mellow, soothing. There are also some really haunting sort of voice which just lull you to sleep slowly, slowly. So I put that on my phone. I don't know when that playlist ends, but invariably by the 10th song, I have fallen asleep.
I do the same, Poonam. Even I have. And most of that playlist actually for me comprises of songs from Descendants of the Sun and Suspicious Partner, some of those soothing numbers. And the one song I must mention here is the singer Yunmi Ray, who has sung Always in Descendants of the
That's
Sun.
My singer, my favorite singer.
But you know what? I discovered she is actually a hip hop artist. And you should listen to the numbers she has sung across different K-dramas. So haunting, her voices and for love ballads, I was stunned. I'm like, look at the versatility these artists have.
Our founder, while making that playlist, I realized everything that Yun Ireg sings is actually on my list, and starting with Flower from Chloe. And then I saw that she has sung in Ithavan class. Another thing is the songs that she is singing, they are soft, mellow, yes, but there are like English lyrics, which are actually on high notes. All of them are on high notes in there, and which is what I like. So you cannot exactly tell the nature of a K-drama just by listening to one song, because they are making a whole compilation of 14 plus songs. I mean, if you listen to all of those songs, they're of all kind of emotions. They are like peppy, there are some rap, there is like really sad songs which actually make you want to cry. There are songs which completely uplift your mood. There are songs that soothe you. So they're making this full range of OST of so many songs that you can have the whole wide array of emotions just going to their songs.
In Descendants of the Sun, there's a beautiful song which I think is probably the best in the album, may not be that famous. It's called Once Again, and when it is picturized is when the second lead is suffering from the viral fever and her life is in danger and she's worried that she's gonna die, and she's talking to her boyfriend over the phone. Actually, they've blended rap in between that song. And that kind of struck me. I'm like, wow, it's actually the mood of the song. But then they blended rap and it doesn't seem out of place at all. So they keep doing these things. And I'm really fascinated by how beautifully Korean music, so seamlessly, they seem to integrate all different genres of music and still make us love the scene or elevate it to another level.
Another album that I wanted to mention when we are talking about this overall wholesome albums, right? Kill Me, Heal Me is one album like that, which has this real super peppy background music or tracks playing. Kill Me, Heal Me is about multiple personalities, right? So when this dominant personality called Shin Se-gi, whenever he comes on screen, there is this super pumping song that is playing in the background. And at the same time, because there are multiple personalities and each personality has its own character, there are so many other tracks. There are tracks which are sung by Ji-sung and Park Seo-joon, who also plays second lead character in that. So there are so many songs sung by Ji-sung and Park Seo-joon too, which are so lilting and beautiful, woven throughout the drama. It's not like, okay, there is one catchy tune and they're using all over. Generally, dramas, they have music interspersed all over all episodes. And it's so beautifully woven into the story, isn't it? I would prefer this kind of a music or this kind of a setting to this scene. And that's exactly how it would be going. Or the way they play the music, that sets your mood, isn't it? Both ways it happens. So that's one thing really I find very fascinating about Korean dramas.
Yeah, so in Crash Landing on You, whenever there is the theme of nostalgia or recollection, the Swiss scenes, whenever that comes in, they have a set music in there. The moment you hear that music, you know that this is about Switzerland. This is about this old, beautiful time in past. And I really like that music. That's again Yun Mirai, by the way. And similarly, when it is about something apprehensive, or for example, My Girl's theme, my title track, which actually translates to The Love is Hard. That one, whenever it plays, you actually feel the trial and tribulations that the characters might be going through. So the theme is not just coming across via the music, and music is, yes, being used to do that, but also the lyrics are such that they can use it over and over again to bring that point across. Another point that I have noticed, that songs are not force fit at all. Sometimes songs are exactly the part of the plot as well. Going back to the Crash Landing on You, I mean, there's this missing piano piece, which the Sonia Jin's character, she even plays it to her, if I can call that character X. She even plays it to him, say, asking, you know, do you recognize this tune? And then there is an opportunity to play that song multiple times when trying to remember Yoon Bin's journey, when she's in a very serious situation, stuck in North Korea. And after that, when they meet, and with the moment when they realize, hey, you know what? We were both together there at the same time, that whole destiny connection. It's a part of a plot point. So that song normally fits through, because it tells the story, it takes the story even forward in some manner.
And while you're mentioning piano and Hyunbin, he's an excellent pianist, by the way, which I discovered when I started exploring behind the scenes when I was in the Hyunbin phase. When I watched Kim Samsun, there are so many segments of piano scenes in that entire series. Samsun wants to learn the piano. She's not an expert, but Hyunbin is. There is a scene where when they first kiss, they are playing the piano. When they start dating, he's just sitting in the empty restaurant and she's playing the piano for him. He actually plays Elvis's Falling in Love with his niece, little niece. His brother and wife, I think, have died. So she's an orphan, but so he's very fond of his niece. And I think piano is very important in the Korean culture. I think all kids go through that training because it seems to be a recurring theme in many dramas. Even in weightlifting fairy Kim Bok-ju, because she was not a good piano player, when she takes a break from her weightlifting, she wants to go and learn piano classes. She's terrible at it, but she still enjoys the whole, she goes thumping her fingers, do-re-mi, do-re-mi. She does this. It's a very cute scene.
Yeah, that's actually very funny because Lee Sung Kyung is such a good singer and a yeah. musician, right?
And so I felt like this piano pieces have so many connects in these dramas. Even there was a scene, because I just saw Strong Bong Soon is so fresh of my mind, her second lead, and she has a huge crush on him and they're friends. He's playing the piano, all the girls are swooning to watch him, and she's swiping the window so the girls can't get a glimpse of him. So these little connects where they get these musical pieces in is beautifully etched into the story. Like Poonam said, never feels forced. It's just a part that you're going through the journey along with it.
And also so many characters who play musical instruments, right? Like you said, Hyunbin, Lee Sang Kyung, and you know, recent drama, Do You Like Brahms? That is also entirely about music. So many other dramas where you have even Park Hyung-sik, Bong Soon, which you mentioned, he has that huge piano in his house, right? So there's Dodo Sol Sol La La Sol also. That is also the protagonist is a piano player. There's so many people. Bong Soon, the other character, is a cello player. You remember? So there are so many such characters who learn music, who get actually trained in music and play musical instruments. It's so important to Koreans, going by the way their dramas show the storylines and the characters that are developed, right?
And I'm really surprised that most of the actors and actresses are not just good in acting and things like that. They are good in singing as well. Literally every lead, female lead, or you know, even some of the supporting actors, somewhere or the other, their voice features, and it's amazing. They're all very talented people. And invariably, the musical instrument is an add-on whenever somebody wants to focus on the vocals. So they just take one instrument, which, you know, someone will take guitar, someone will take piano and things like that.
All right. I want to add to one point which Sangeeta was making about so many K-dramas are about these characters who have something to do with music. One of them is Still 17. So, I mean, the synopsis is pretty available, so I'm not giving any spoiler away. Essentially, there's this female violinist. She was a child prodigy. I mean, she could have become something, but she got into an accident and she slept for 12 years. And so when she woke up, she still felt like She was 17 years old, but she was actually 30 years old. So she wants to go back and play the violin, but obviously it's not easy. One message that they given in drama is that music is not for the sake of technical skills or performances. After painstakingly, she learns to play violin again. And when her teacher hears again, he feels joy hearing her and not so much from her rival wife. The only difference was that one of them was enjoying it. The other one felt like it was a work because of so much parental pressure to be a performer and all of that. I love that a lot. Focus on a musician's life. Even if you may not be a performer, music is important just for the sake of enjoying it, just for the sake of it, how much it enriches your life.
Yeah, that's a theme in About Time also, similar to what you've said about enjoying music. About Time also, Lee Seung-kyung is a singer. She's auditioning for this musical. And the director who is directing that musical, initially when he listens to her, he's like, you don't have the soul in it, right? You're not trying to put your soul in it and you're just singing based on what you've practiced or repeating something you've already done. So when she joins the team and she starts learning from him and observes the others and gels with the team, then one day when she's just casually just vacuuming the hall and she's singing to herself, he's so impressed because she's singing so beautifully. That track is really, really nice. And there's no background music also in that particular piece, just Lee Seung-kyung singing to herself. That's such a beautiful scene altogether.
Her voice is exceptional. I saw it.
Absolutely.
You shared it.
Absolutely.
I went and saw it because I like her so much.
While you were talking about, you know, just the vocal bit, I remember you mentioning about your favorite actor in Oh My Ghost.
Yes.
He sings that just with one musical instrument that he plays.
Exactly.
In the drama.
Yeah.
I think it's Chocolate, right?
Right.
So Chocolate. That was also a very short piece, but very, very nice. Very heartwarming.
But while on actors singing in K-dramas, one of the songs that really I loved it is Ji Chang-wook singing in Suspicious Partner, 101 Reasons to Love You. The lyrics are so simple, but it's so cute and it comes at the right time in the drama. And he's done a video. He's live recording in the studio. So obviously we'll share it and y'all can go have a look.
And when we're talking about actors, right, it's not just the leading actors and actresses. Some of these older actors who play character artist roles in different dramas, like this guy, Kim Chang-won, who plays the manager in My Love from the Star. He's actually a rock singer and composer. I got to know much later after I watched the drama, but I was quite amazed to think that somebody, looking at him in the dramas, you would peg him to be this typical Ajashi who's uncle, our uncle age, who's doing these senior roles and all, right? To think that he was a rock composer and I've seen some of his songs and I'm like, wow.
I'm just stunned. They act, they look good, they sing, they play instruments. I'm like, what is it that they cannot do?
Yeah,
please tell me.
Seriously, man.
You have to talk about Jo Jung-suk singing, yeah? I mean, he has sung in Don't Dare to Dream in the end and on his wedding scene. There is a song, Entertainer, that he sings toward the end. I mean, in his own wedding, he's this sober, normal person until that moment. And it's like he's waiting for that one moment when he can sing and dance. And if you have seen his videos, he sings and dances in a flair. There's a kind of type in it. It was like he was just waiting for that moment to break free. Jo Jung-suk, as I said, he has performed a couple of times. There are a lot of opportunities for actors, even those who are not professional singers, to kind of chime in and actually sing in their own voices. For example, there are so many karaoke bar scenes over there. I mean, it's a theme in, I would say, probably in most Asian shows where, you know, people go to these, how do they call it, norebang or karaoke bars to hang out. Team outings happen over there. It's a place where you go out, meet your friends. It's a place when you have had a really bad day, you go out and sing songs while crying along with it. Generally a way to, you know, relax in many ways. So obviously it's also an opportunity for lead actors or to express their feelings, whatever cannot be said to the leading lady or the leading man because of the situation. They can just sing a song about it in a karaoke bar in just a team meeting. In Scent of a Woman, female lead has this bucket list where she wants to sing this particular duet with the person she loves. nobody in their team on the workplace knows about their relationship. So Lee Thombuk, being fantastic that he is, he chooses, everybody is taking turn to sing songs and he's a boss over there. And then he's like, why is nobody asking me to sing? And they're like, we thought you wouldn't want to. Please sing. And they, just encourage him to go and sing. And then he goes and he starts it with the same thing. I have always wanted to sing a duet with the one I love, which was Her Wish. Falls it, come out, let's sing. And everybody is surprised that he is like, their relationship is out and open. And the way they're looking at each other while singing.
Talking of Lee Thombuk, of course, it's also so important, that scene, because he's introducing her as his love interest for the first time to the entire team, right? You get so excited just watching that scene. But talking about Lee Thombuk, again, another karaoke or norebang scene that I really love is from My Girl, of course. My favorite drama forever. So My Girl, in the penultimate episode, he sings this song where till then, actually, they both have never really confessed their feelings to each other. They both know that they like each other. They sort of admitted that they like each other. And still, there are some differences and they've gone apart whatsoever. So at that time, he again finds her after a gap of 3 years. And then he's trying to tell her how much he loves her. He's only told her he likes her and he wants to be with her, but he's realized that he's so much in love with her. So he uses this chance. She's a tour guide. So she takes them to different places in Seoul, and she takes the whole team, this which is supposedly from Japan, to one of the karaoke bars. And there she just sort of provokes him, saying that, he'll sing a song because she thinks that he's not interested and he'll just get out of her hair by saying that. But he wants to prove that he really, really loves her and he'll go to any length to impress her and, to have her back, right? So he sings this song. It's with utmost sincerity. You should watch that video, He's not really a great singer, Lee Thombuk. So he's not really a...
But
really
gives joy.
Exactly. Such joy. He's not a great singer, but you see that, he's so excited and he's so happy to confess his feelings to her. And that feeling, that sincerity comes across. You feel like, oh no, please say yes.
And Sangeeta wants to pretend that as though Lee Thombuk is going to confess to her.
We all like to pretend.
Exactly.
So I can totally cool this thing that you said in that observation. Imagine the tourist group also need to be taken to a karaoke bar to have this flavor of Korea.
Yeah.
Imagine
okay.
that. And we have to do that as well, by the way.
When we do our girls trip.
Oh yes, yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. And the second thing that I want to say is that this karaoke bar thing, do you remember in Jealousy Incarnate, Don't Dare to Dream?
Oh, yeah.
Jo Jung-suk's character sings this song, Wrongful Encounter. That song, the lyrics basically summarize the whole drama theme synopsis.
Totally.
The song is about, I introduce you to my friend. And you're liking my friend more than me. And now both of you are not giving me enough attention like you used to. And again, that song style, his singing style is almost same as that entertainment song singing in that wedding scene that I talked about. So karaoke bar, they're not again forced fit at all. They fit very well into the narrative and they're adding to the narrative, even taking it forward.
So you all spoke about Lee Thombuk because you love him so much, right? But surprisingly, I didn't like Boys of Flowers, okay? I did not like the drama. I know Poonam and Uma liked it a lot for Lee Min Ho. But there was one song which I'm going to mention, which stayed with me. I loved it. He has to break up with her because of the circumstances not under his control. And there's a lovely song where he wants to apologize to her. And he would love to do that in person, but he can't. And this song keeps playing in the background. Fighting the Bad Feeling. It's a very, very beautiful song. And the way he says, it starts off with, sorry, Biyane. And then it flows through. I absolutely love that song. Uma, you want to add something? I spoke about Lee Min Ho.
Yeah,
how could you? How could you mean it?
If it is Boys Over Flowers, my favorite and my all-time favorite, if it's a pain-related theme of the song, is My Everything, which is sung by Lee Min Ho himself. Shows in his voice the pain that he's going through. And the title of the song is My Everything. It was released in 2013. And if I want to feel sad in the morning, I listen to that. Or if I want to feel happy, there is another song that I listen to, which is Lee Min Ho's voice again. It's called Little Princess. It's part of his album, singles album that he's released.
There is another one from Inheritors or The Heirs, which is Painful Love, which is very popular with the fans of Lee Min-ho.
So we have talked about how OST in K-dramas covers romance and how it is sometimes adds to the narrative, takes it forward. But this adding to the narrative, it can also be a very critical plot point. For example, in Suspicious Partner, it's actually a clue to the whole mystery. I mean, how many times you would imagine that you know nothing about the murderer and the only clue to the murderer is a song. And it's not just a song. That song has the whole backstory of that character.
And Poonam, you know, the interesting part about that villain in Suspicious Partner is it conflicts you. But because of his backstory, the way it has played out and the reason why he becomes what he becomes, somewhere people started sympathizing. It's nicely presented, the conflict that you have. That song is beautiful. It also plays in a couple of painful scenes with the lead couple. It's so painful and it's so hauntingly beautiful. I'm very conflicted when I'm listening to that song, actually. But
and
I love it.
Song name is also apt, the memory of that
of
day.
That day.
Because that song, that's what it represents to Jang Hyun-soo, and which is why he has been listening to it over and over again over the years.
Yeah,
so,
true.
Absolutely apt. Every single level of detail, the meta, has also been thought about.
Yeah, one more drama which has similar significance to a particular tune is Summer Scent. Again, one of Sonia Jin's older dramas. Summer Scent is also, it's a very melodrama. It's a little bit of a tragic drama. I mean, sad drama. I wouldn't say tragic, but it's a little bit of sad drama. So in that, Schubert's serenade has a very significant role throughout the drama. Actually, the male lead loses his love. She dies. So she used to love that tune and her heart is transplanted into Sonia Jin. So she starts listening to that tune and her heart starts responding to that. And she wonders, why is this happening to me, right? This is not even a tune which I've really listened to earlier or loved it, but why is my heart responding to it this way? So tune plays so many times and throughout the story, there is so much talk going around that tune. It's a very, like I said, an older drama and a sad drama. So it's not everybody's cup of tea, but the way they have used that tune to narrate the whole story, right? Similar to what Poonam said about Suspicious Partner, how that plays such a significant role. That was very beautifully done. Poonam, we have to talk about Mozart Symphony 40,
yeah.
Right? It's actually such a popular tune and there are so many renditions, right? But nobody has, I don't think anybody has done it the way they did it in My Girl. It's so fast and peppy and really just, you know, gets your feet tapping. That's actually my ringtone on my phone all the time, you know.
That's cool. Are we not going to talk about Michael Learns to Rock?
Do we? Yeah, we have to. How can we not talk about Eternal?
Girl, over to you.
Sorry, Sunita, this is our favorite topic.
Absolutely, totally. We are only raving about all the music so far, but talking about the funnier parts of it, you know, where they have force-fitted OSTs. It's not like K-dramas haven't done that. Our favorite pet peeve all the time is the... Actually, Healer is the perfect example of a K-drama in every sense. But again, we have to talk about the ridiculous placement of Michael Learns to Rock's It's a Beautiful Feeling, okay? Oh my God, in that drama, it comes at the most randomest of scenes. There is this serious scene where Yujite and Ji Chang-wook and Park Min-young are, you know, they have had a discussion about their past or something and you expect them to be all this broody or whatever. And then suddenly it plays, It's a Beautiful Feeling. Are you kidding me? What is so beautiful about this scene right now?
I have lost track the amount of times I cringed when watching Healer when the song came on. I'm like, this does not fit. This is not fitting the scene. And by the way, Healer's main theme is fantastic. It's instrumental.
Yeah.
And it's brilliant.
That's true.
That is the theme because it has highs and lows to fit into the serious mode, the soppy mode, the action mode. And no, but they will fit in. It's a beautiful feeling from MLTR. And I like MLTR. I was very upset.
Exactly. I like the track also. The track is so beautiful, actually, if you just listen to it, right? But when you see Ji Chang-wook just running behind somebody, chasing somebody or whatever, and then it's a beautiful feeling playing in the background. Like, oh my God, please. I think probably that's one drama where I haven't fast forwarded the scene but muted it because I don't want to listen to that track.
But K-dramas do swell job at comedy. And I think there are 2-3 scenes that we have to mention which totally cracked us up. Sangeeta, I'm going to give you Kim Sono rights and I'll talk about Reply 1988. So the background is, there's a national singing contest happening and they're going for the auditions. So one of the guys, his name is Dong Rong, and he sings actually really well. He's going to sing Stevie Wonder's I Just Called to Say I Love You. And Miran, who's the mom, one of the moms, she has practiced to perform to this upbeat number. And they go to the audition. And the whole scene prior to that is the audition, her audition tape gets mixed with the ex-seller's tape. The ex-seller's tape is essentially calling out to the neighborhood that buy fresh eggs, buy these eggs, buy that eggs. And that's it. And that's the premise. I'm going to share the clip in the episode notes. And I can't describe it, how outrageous and how hilarious that whole scene is. So the listeners should go and watch it. And I was falling off my couch looking at that. She's crazy. And the whole audition scene is crazy. And these are the kind of scenes that I watch K-dramas for. That's the time I want to watch when I want to laugh my heart out. These are the kind of scenes I want to watch. Sangeeta.
I watched that scene only because you shared it and you told us about this, right? And yes, I also will tell the listeners the same thing. I don't want to share or give away how hilarious it is. No. You must watch it to just, you know, just experience the whole thing.
And you don't need to watch the series at all. You don't need to watch the series. You just go watch that clip.
Absolutely.
That's not enough.
When I watched it, I thought, what did I just watch? Like, where is this logic coming from? Who thought it up in the first place?
It's a complete whack job. I'm like, we were watching this, we're like, what are we watching? It's kind of like, you know, I felt when Jo Jung Suk scene came in Legend of the Blue Sea, what are we watching? And we love it so much.
Totally. And talking of hilarious scenes, I have to talk about this Kim Sono scene in Waikiki 2, right? Oh my God, welcome to Waikiki 2. He's the singer. He aspires to be an idol singer, which sort of didn't happen at the right age for him. And he's still sort of taking up these singing gigs and all that. So one of the gigs that he takes up is, you know, side gigs, which he takes up in singing in the restaurants and all that. So Moon Ga-young, who plays a female lead, she is broke and she is sort of finding jobs, what to do, all picking up all sorts of things that are coming her way. So she wants to learn music and she goes and tries to learn from somebody else, doesn't work out. Then she says, okay, Kim Sono, we have the in-house singer, why not learn from him? He has a little bit of a crush on her for a long time and he's like excited to teach her. He thinks that, okay, yes, I will teach her. But he has anger management problems. All his friends warn him saying that, are you really sure? Do you really want to teach her? Because we know that you have anger management problems and we know that she's a very bad singer. Are you sure? So he says, no, I will, I will teach her. Okay, I will try to control my anger. And they do this scene, okay, where she's trying to learn from him and she is real, real bad singer in that scene. I mean, I don't know if Moon Ga-young can really sing, but in that scene, she's hilarious. She's a very bad singer and she's trying to sing and Kim Sono is telling her, hit this note. He sings and he tells her a particular note, hit this note. So she's like, same note, she's just screaming at the top of her voice. So I can't even describe that scene without really, you know, laughing my guts out because he tells her, he gets onto the chair and then he tries to sit and then slowly get up like this. He's lifting his hand and getting up and he's like, do you really think what you're singing is at this tone? So it's so hilarious, that whole scene.
I can totally relate to the Sangeeta. I haven't watched this drama yet. But I can totally relate to this because, you know, this kind of, you know, scenario has come in a lot of movies and a lot of other dramas as well, wherein the person wants to badly sing. They are so enthusiastic and gung-ho about it and they have all the energy, they just don't have the voice.
Exactly. the way they show it, it's like in his imagination, he's screaming at her. He can't, you know, hold his anger in, and he's like screaming, yelling at her. But on the face of it, he cannot yell at her. So he's keeping his calm face and he's trying to tell her, it's okay, you will learn. So
I was excited, like this girl who doesn't know to sing and who's having a lot of energy. And I get so excited every time I watch a new drama and there's this prominent song that just, you know, gets stuck to you, and I immediately go and search for it on Apple Music or Spotify and listen to it, remember all the scenes. That, you know, I will send it to my friends. Okay, this is a very beautiful song, you must listen. The reply immediately comes, I don't understand the language. But then I understood, you know, what the gap was. Then I realized what is special that I'm going through that they are not going through. They're not watching the drama. For me, when I listen to the song, I'm able to really feel the love or the pain or the, you know, the situation or whatever, you know, the theme is that they're portraying. I'm literally able to live through the entire 3 minutes or 4 minutes of the song, which they don't experience. Probably that's why, that's a big gap. Please go and watch some of the dramas and then listen to the song. You will be flown. That's my guarantee.
That relatability point, I think that makes sense to me as well. Meenal was other day telling me that, you know, music is a universal language, you don't have to. But for me, it was because there were some relatable points, and which is why I was able to start listening to, you know, different language, because lyrics are important. And in a lot of these K-dramas, wherever there are like these English notes and English words and relate to the situation, they matter a lot. So relatability is important, and watching some of the key dramas would just help you do that. And once you're in it, then you're okay to watch, you are okay to listen to the songs, even for the dramas that you have not watched. Because now you understand how that it kind of works in overall big picture. So watching a couple of key dramas is not a bad advice at all.
You Absolutely. Have to watch K-dramas. So, this is what we are propagating on our podcast. You have to watch K-dramas.
Yeah. Like, say, for example, even in when we are talking about relatability, what Poonam mentioned, right? It's okay to not be okay. The first song where it is, you know, introduced, the fairy tale song, where the entire story is literally introduced through a animated fairy tale in the beginning of the drama itself. And there is a very nice tune that is playing in the background, Once Upon a Time, right? So it's mostly the lyrics are English. And the tune is also quite catchy and nice. But unless you watch the drama, you probably won't appreciate it so much, right? Because it's not something I would really listen to. So that way, yes, most of these songs, because even the lyrics go with the story, like what we were discussing all the while, lyrics go with the story. So it doesn't make sense for somebody who hasn't watched to appreciate it so much.
But two things, you know, this happened to me. I chanced upon two. One was City Hunters, suddenly. I haven't watched the drama. I haven't seen the video, but her voice, Kim Bo Young, I looked up the singer, of course. It starts such a soothing manner and then it hits a crescendo. And I was so stunned with her voice quality, that it didn't, I have still not watched the video, by the way, but that song is a permanent on my playlist. And similarly, Ayu's, which is not, again, a K-drama song, but it turned out this is Moonlight. And that song, again, the music is so haunting and so beautiful. And I was so mesmerized by that song when it came up on my playlist. I'm like, what is this song? Let me go and save it. So sometimes some of these just connect with you. It's only after that I went and checked the lyrics and what it was, who are the singers, blah, blah, blah. So I really think people should give Korean OSTs a chance. If you enjoyed our episode, do spread the word. We would love to hear from you. Brickbats and feedbacks are welcome. So get in touch with us at crashlandedonkdramas@gmail.com. Leave us a voice message in the link provided in the episode note, or simply leave us a review or rating. You can also follow us on Twitter. Our handles are in the episode notes. We will be back next week with another fun episode of Crash Landed on K-Dramas. So stay tuned. Annyeong!